Cheer up, Brian. You know what they say? Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep on laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Come on, Brian, cheer up.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on.
We'll come from nothing, you know what I say?
Oh, cheer up, you old bugger.
Come on, give us a grin. There you are. See? In the film. Incidentally, this record's available in the foyer.
Always look on the right.
Someone's got to live as well, right? Who do you think pays for this rubbish?
Always look on the money back, you know?
I told him. I said to him, Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.
White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker in northern Indiana. Not too far from Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Fitness Station. Right next to our Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard. Boy, we're rolling them out. Whew, this is the time of year we're busy all the time. People coming in here from everywhere to pick up these cheap, redone, repainted, beautiful pieces of equipment that the U.S. so-called government leaves laying around all over the world. And in cooperation with our chink friends, the Chinese, they help us pick them up, bring them over here on their Chinese junks, bring them up the Ohio River through the Gulf, right on up here to northern Indiana. We put them out here on the lot, and you come get them and take them home, get ready for the big one. Yeah, the big one. Well, it's June the 27th, 2016. Boy, I'll tell you, this is another month almost gone. If you got something real important to do in June, you better get at it or you ain't going to get it done, man. Hey, don't forget to send us lots of money to P.O. Box 401. Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And send cash, check, or money order to White Aryan Resistance or Tom Metzger or Cash, anything like that, we'll get it. Don't send it to the insurgent anymore. That's not a depository thing. I could keep it, but there's no use having all these names sticking around. And we're not even going to try to piss around with PayPal and those kind of outfits anymore. They think they're being real cute, you know, having these rules where you can't say nigger and stuff like that. Oh, man. So anyhow, you know, I'm banned all over the place. Man, I'm telling you, I am banned here and I'm banned there. Facebook banned me. Shit. Wow. But it is almost time for your July contribution. I just sent out three money orders the other day, and I sent out about 5 books to different prisoners around the place. Some of the guys were having trouble getting that book, March of the Titans. And I was able to find several for about $15 bucks, which is a real cheap price for March of the Titans, so they're happy about getting those. Well, I see this group called the Traditionalist Worker Party showed up out there in California. They had a lot of stuff on television the last few days here. A little unclear what happened. But it looked like a Donnybrook. Matthew Heimbach is the leader. Well, as I've told you before, I believe those days are over. I think that you expose too much of your good people by taking them into the streets. I used to do it all the time. Luckily, I don't have the scars to prove it. But seems like the knives were employed, and if I were to bet money, I'd bet that the mestizos that were in the gang that attacked these Traditionalist Worker Party members, I would bet that they were the mestizos with the knives. So you got to learn to wear some type of clothing that tends to thwart knife thrusts and things like that. But it's also telling you that we're getting back to the way it was in the late 60s, 70s, and 80s when I was on the street. You had to know tactics. You had to know really how to defend yourself and hurt your enemies. They were doing the same thing in other parts of the country back then as they're doing now. You know, just come on, guys, let's have a demonstration. Just show up at the corner of A and B and we'll be fine, you know. And, of course, you think you depend on the cops to protect you. We never wanted the cops even to come around. We told the cops if they did, of course, they wouldn't do it because they're mainly, I think, they're there to protect the creeps, the Marxists and other people. But, of course, they'll deny that. So anyhow, you have to be prepared, and that means training if you're going to do it. But see, the problem is when you do it, you're fronting yourself off to everybody. They're taking your pictures. You could get killed. You could get seriously wounded. They arrest you. They interrogate you. They take you to trial on some stupid charge, and then you lose your job, you lose your wife, your dog bites you, and your kids hate you. So I don't see the gain to that. I learned after a couple of decades of that there was no future in that stuff. Even though I survived and any of the men who marched with me survived, it's just not worth it. But if you're going to do it, hurt your enemy. I mean, make them, if they want to make you bleed, if they attack you and you're defending yourself, make them bleed. Now, what I saw on TV was just a bunch of guys running around with sticks. We used to have shields and billy clubs, and some of our guys had licensed guns and that type of stuff. And, of course, after a while, we were winning all the riots. So the cops made us get rid of our shields. They wouldn't let us wear our shields, and they were trying to take everything, anything away from us that we could use to defend ourselves. Because they didn't give a shit whether you got killed or not, you know. That's not their worry, man, any more than it was my worry that they got in trouble. Like the time that the creeps, the Progressive Labor Party in Oxnard, California, put nine cops in the hospital. Almost killed one. We saved his life. So back then, it wasn't fun and games. In Chicago, the Progressive Labor Party attacked the cops and threw acid in their faces. So that gets pretty serious when things like that start happening. But if you're going to go into the streets, you're bound to determine to do it. Go with strength and vigor. Be in good shape. Work out all the time. Know how to use manual weapons. Know when to fish and when to cut bait. Know when to march down the street in a diamond formation or the British square. All I see and all I saw was a lot of right-wing groups back in the 70s where they just marched down the street. If anything happened, they didn't seem to know how to make a diamond formation or a British square. You probably heard the history of the British square had never been broken. Well, if you get a few guys in a real tight formation willing to go the whole nine yards, you can hold off 100 people, maybe 200, because they got to come at you primarily one at a time on each side. So we were quite successful that way. None of our men were ever seriously hurt or hospitalized or even jailed. But things have changed now. Things have changed quite a bit. And so if you're going to keep doing that kind of stuff, train yourself and know exactly how to do and understand that you probably going to go to jail and have your name on the list from then on, which sort of neutralizes you for any future real guerrilla warfare. They know who you are, they know where you're at, they know your tattoos, they know all that. So lone wolves don't have to worry too much about that kind of stuff. So anyhow, a lot of times the right wing say, oh, you criticize too much. Well, God damn it, the men that marched with me and the men that went into demonstrations all lived and none of them went to jail. And none of them got hurt. So if you don't think I know what I'm talking about, well, just do it your way. I notice that on both sides, most of the people who get into these riots are out of shape. A lot of them are big and fat, and a lot of them are teeny-weeny skinny. You got to have people that are physically fit and that work out and so forth. And before we went out into any kind of a situation where we were going to demonstrate or think we're going to be attacked, we drilled and practiced for hours and hours, and it paid off. What's the most disillusioning thing you can see is a bunch of good white boys go out there not knowing what they're doing and getting their ass beat. It looks bad for all of us when that happens. I remember Bill Wilkerson, who ran the Invisible Empire Knights of the Ku Klux Klan out of Georgia, I believe it was. He used to take these guys into the streets, routinely got their ass beat. I saw one where they were marching in Dallas or Houston, and the creeps got a hold of those Klan robes and tossed those guys around like rag dolls. Jesus. It was so insulting. It's mortifying, man, to see good white guys that are willing to do something misused like that. It was about that time that I referred them to the newly emerging skinheads. And Wilkerson, of course, was an FBI informant, turned out. But he didn't want to he condemned the skinheads. See, I fostered the skinheads and befriended the skinheads, but all these right-wing leaders, all of them, condemned the skinheads. Oh, they're too hooliganish and all that kind of stuff. Well, I didn't. I befriended them, and then when these Klan guys and NS guys got in trouble marching, I'd say, well, I'd suggest you recruit the skinheads into your operation. And from then on, they did, and things started changing. They got a lot better, these guys, in their marches in the streets. Because the skinheads were there for one thing and one thing only. Break heads if you had to, you know. Yep. I remember one Klan guy over in Ohio used to have demonstrations every once in a while. He never trained his men either. And I remember he was up on the podium on the steps of the Capitol of Ohio. And his security, he didn't have any security. And one of the creeps, we used to call them creeps, you know. Most of them were Marxists. One of them come in from the side, you know, over to his right side, snuck in that way and got him and beat him up there right on the podium at the Ohio State Capitol, which never should have been done. No creep should have been able to get that close to the speaker, because your speaker is very symbolic. If he goes down, you've lost. But I don't support fighting fair anymore, demonstrations, and going out in the open and saying, here I am, and do what you want. I don't believe in playing fair no more. No more. If you're going to play, don't play fair. Find out who these groups are and who their leaders are and where they live and where they work and everything about them. 90% of your work will be intelligence work, gathering information. And then when you need it, you've got it, you know? These guys that come out there, these creeps to attack you, well, they got to go home. So after the riot, if you want to, you can follow them home, you know? If you know all their address and where they work and everything else, you know. Good thing to know. But here again, I support lone wolf. Well, you don't have to worry about all that. You should still know tactics, though, and how to act if you do and your friends get into a situation. Know how to defend yourself and know how to hurt your enemy. And I mean hurt them. I know we put some of Irv Rubin's boys, the Jewish Defense League in L.A., we put a couple of them in the hospital for months. And even Irv Rubin, he got caught by the National Socialists down an alley one time in L.A. That's how he got his face all screwed up. He had his nose broken several times. Well, I'll leave you with that, because I know that there's hardly anybody that plays around in that old right wing ever tunes into me anyhow. So talking to them is like talking to the dog. So anyhow, you at least you guys that are lone wolves understand the way the game is played and the way the game should be played if you ever expect to have any kind of win. Well, I wish I was going to be able to go to that Republican convention over here. They're doing their best to put together an operation to derail Trump at the convention. And I hope and pray to Odin and Thor that happens. They're putting together some kind of a head of steam to derail Trump at the convention. And if that happens, all hell's going to break loose. And I'd love to be there. If you live in that area, it might be fun just to take your lawn chair and go down there and sit across the street at a safe distance to watch the fun, because there's going to be major rioting outside the convention. And if they really seriously try to dethrone Trump, they're going to have rioting inside the convention. So happy days are had by all. Chaos Phase 2 is well in order. Well in order. And how do you like the way this thing is going with the EU? I love it. Now Scotland wants to keep England in. Before, Scotland wanted out, and now they want to keep England in. It's funnier than hell. Of course, if you dig back far enough, you'll find the U.S. money boys were the ones who pushed that onto Europe in the first place. It was all a U.S. idea. And also, NATO was a total fabrication by the United States after World War II. All this bullshit is U.S. created. Europe can only gain by divesting itself from the EU and definitely divesting itself from NATO, who the U.S. warmongers keep trying to initiate some kind of military action in eastern Ukraine and into Russia. They just can't quit nitpicking with Putin. And these pansy-ass pussies in Washington, they better watch it, because I don't think Putin's a pussy. I think he'll come at you with everything he's got if you don't leave him alone. And NATO is just another excuse for the U.S. war machine to control Europe. I think finally Europe's beginning to catch on to this U.S. control of Europe and occupation, you know, with thousands and thousands of U.S. troops all over Europe, and for that matter, the world. The world's getting savvy to that crap, and they're going to react to it, and that's going to be amusing to watch, too. I just happened to be going around on YouTube yesterday, and I picked up this old expose of the Vince Foster murder assassination. Oh, you don't think he was? He was murdered, all right, like a whole bunch of other people that went against the feds and the Clintons down there in Arkansas. And they, of course, on this videotape, they exposed all the shenanigans of bringing all that cocaine in from South America through Mena Airport in Arkansas, and it was the feds all mixed up with Clinton, Bill Clinton. So anyhow, I got to reminding me about why the Murrah building went up in Oklahoma City. Yeah. Well, there was a loyal movement, racial person by the name of Snell, who had been told by somebody, I don't know who, to keep an eye on Mena Airport. He was keeping logs on it. He was going out there and laying in the weeds by the chain link fence, evidently, gathering information, all these CIA planes bringing in the cocaine. Well, then he had some problems with a Jewish pawnbroker and also a black deputy sheriff cop of who he shot and killed. And that's never been quite clear to me what happened there. However, he had exchanged a few letters with me. Not many, but a few. And it seemed that the night that he was to be executed was the night that the Murrah building went up, or the day the Murrah building went up. So I think there is an interesting connection there that the feds got payback for, at least partially, for Snell's execution, which they probably wanted to happen. These things happen all the time, things like this. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put all the day school kindergarten class in that building. What person in their right mind would put a group of small children in a building that's definitely could be and should be and has been targets of all kinds of people? So I think somebody had that in the back of their head, that the Snell execution and the Marat building connection. And like I've said before, I think almost all of these things, the feds know about it, know about it's being planned, and if it works in their favor, they allow it to go forward and happen. Same in this case. Same as 9/11, many people have said there was all kinds of explosives embedded into those 9/11 buildings and all kinds of extra explosives embedded into the Marat building, so that what might have been a relatively small explosion at the Marat building brought almost the whole building down. And this is the way the feds do things, and then they could turn around for propaganda and gain a lot of ground for the putting more dictatorial laws into force. It's a very clever way of doing business, even though it is obviously extremely evil. At the time, it seemed like a horrible tragedy, and in a way it was. Look at all those little kids that didn't need to die, and adults that didn't need to die. But you see, that's what comes from people like the Clintons, and the people like the Bush family, and the push people like the Cheneys that get the United States into all this crap. And this is the results of it. Middle East is the same thing. We go in there and occupy and bomb and strafe and kill, and everybody here in the United States, or most people, say, oh, whoopee, God bless America, and do it, you know. So when the people that are being brutalized and raped and killed and bombed turn around and say, fuck you, U.S., we're going to hurt you, I understand all that. I understand it completely. Same way all these killers that are being trained and have been trained at the School of the Americas down there in Georgia. They're trained to kill. That's one thing. That's all they're trained to do is kill, bomb, rape. And they do it for, like, you know, Chiquita Banana Company and all those people, to keep their workers in line. They're not in line, or they try to unionize, they murder them. What do you think is going to happen when those people start migrating up here with a bone to crush, with a bone to pick with the U.S., and then they do some dastardly thing according to your opinion? Kill a bunch of people, and then why would anybody do that? Why would anybody do that? Every time I hear of the Marat building going down or going up or whichever way it went or forward, I think of Mr. Snell, my friend, who tried to expose the giant corruption and graft and drug dealing of the Clintons and the Bushes and Ronald Reagan at the time, all those guys. And he ended up being executed in a, I think, electric chair. So whenever you think of the Marat building and how horrible it was, think of Mr. Snell, who tried to do something good for his country and his race, and who was murdered for his trouble. I don't sympathize with these people when bad things happen to bad people. There's not enough bad things happening to bad people. Now, we're lucky enough to have overheard a conversation last night between two white guys who were regular white guys, middle-aged, one younger, and one white midget. The one white man was from England, the other was from Ireland, Dublin, and the other one, the midget, was from the United States. They're going to talk about race war.
You'll grieve. There's gonna be a war between the blacks and between the whites. You ain't even gonna need a uniform no more. This ain't gonna be a war where you pick your side. Your side's already picked for you.
Well, I know whose side I'm fighting on. I'm fighting with the blacks. Whites are gonna get their heads kicked in.
You don't decide this shit, man.
But who are the half-cats gonna fight with?
The blacks, man. It's obvious.
But what about the Pakistanis?
The blacks.
What about... Think about it. What about the Vietnamese?
The blacks.
Well, I'm definitely fighting with the blacks if they got the Vietnamese. So hang on. Would all of the white midgets in the world be fighting against all the black midgets in the world?
Yeah.
That'd make a good film.
You don't know how much shit I've had to take off a black midgets, man.
That's...
Well, there you go. White midgets against the black midgets. And the white big people against the black people. Normal. There you go. He's got it together. But first we have to take out the ruling class. Maybe we need a new ruling class. How about that? Since there's probably always going to be a ruling class, at least we can shake the bush up once in a while and get a new bunch of... Well, I'll leave that up to you. The problem with the ruling class is you got to be ready at all times with the guillotine. You know, you got to act quicker. You can't go so long between guillotine times. Well, 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 speaking of the ruling class and a dangerous, flawed decision, aren't they all? A federal district court in Virginia ruled that a criminal defendant, that's you or me, has no reasonable expectation of privacy in his personal computer located inside his home. According to the court, the federal government does not need a warrant to hack into an individual's computer. This decision is the latest in, and perhaps the culmination of, a series of troubling decisions. Troubling, yes. In prosecutions stemming from the FBI's investigation of Playpen, a Tor hidden services site hosting child pornography. The FBI seized the server hosting the site in 2014 for continuing to operate the site and serve malware to thousands of visitors that logged onto the site. The malware located certain identifying information, addresses, operating systems, the computer's host name, and so forth, on the attack computer, and sent that information back to the FBI so they could get their share of child pornography sent right to headquarters. There are hundreds of prosecutions pending across the country stemming from this investigation. The implications for the decision, if upheld, are staggering because they'll use it on all kinds of other stuff. They use child pornography and things like this so they can... They think the public will leave them alone. Well, that's all right, the scumbags, you know. Yeah. The implications for the decision, if upheld, are staggering. Law enforcement, the pigs, would be free to remotely search and seize information from your computer without a warrant, without probable cause, or without any suspicion at all. Five words won't even protect you in a situation like that. To say the least, the decision is bad news for privacy. What privacy? What fucking privacy? Who are you trying to kid? But it's also incorrect as a matter of law, and we expect there is little chance it would hold up on appeal. Yeah, right. It also was not the central component of the judge's decision, which also diminishes the likelihood that it will become a reliable precedent. Yeah, that's what they said about the 14th Amendment. But the decision underscores a broader trend in these cases. Courts across the country faced with similar technology and unsympathetic defendants are issuing decisions that threaten everyone's rights. Rights? You have no fucking rights. How many times do I have to tell you? as the hundreds of these cases work their way through the federal court system, we'll be keeping a careful eye on these decisions, developing resources to help educate the defense bar, and doing all we can to ensure that the Fourth Amendment's protections for our electronic devices aren't eroded further. We'll be writing more about these cases in the upcoming days, too, to be sure to check back in for an in-depth look at the legal issues in these cases and the problems with the way the FBI handles its investigation. Well, if they handle it like they handle every other investigation, like the bitch Hillary, don't worry about it. They won't be able to figure out any cases. The 9/11, they couldn't figure that out. All the Saudi Arabians and so forth. They couldn't figure out the emails from the bitch Clinton. Can't figure that out. Can't. And the Attorney General, the nigger, just won't make an arrest. We can't. There's just not enough evidence. Just. Even though there were thousands and thousands of emails that were supposed to be national security. We can't find anything to arrest her for. We want her to be our mama president. Like the bitch in the Manchurian Candidate, the mother in that original Manchurian Candidate. She reminds me truly of that bitch. The people handling security for the nation's busiest malls and amusement parks are no longer retired cops. I knew there'd have to be quite a bit of money in this deal. They are a 24-year veteran of the FBI, a former CIA operative, and the one-time chief of counterterrorism for Scotland Yard. The theme park industry's annual security bill, already roughly $250 million a year, is expected to grow by more than $100 million over the next few years, according to one consultant. See how they make money? The guy shoots somebody, and all of a sudden the price of poker goes way up, and they make money. They can't lose, these crony capitalists. They can't lose. Disneyland, Universal Studios Hollywood, and SeaWorld are all installed metal detectors outside their gates for the first time last December. That's a little late, isn't it? Well, let's see here. What else? Lone wolf shootings like those at the Pulse nightclub. Lone Islamic shootings in Orlando earlier this month and in San Bernardino last December have forced businesses to shoulder more of the cost and responsibility of securing America against terrorism. It's everywhere. The coordinated terrorist attacks of 9/11 led airlines to spend billions more to secure airports backed by passenger fees. See, it's a scam, boys and girls. It is a total scam. But assailants like Omar Mateen, Saeed Rezaan Farouk, and Tashfeen Malak chose more diffuse targets where they could inflict the largest number of casualties as quickly as possible. Well, if you hadn't closed down all the nut houses and the mental hospitals and you were taking people off the street who needed to be taken off the street and housed in professional hospitals where they could be treated, that would cut your problem down by half. Because every one of these people so far, these lone wolves, killers, have had severe mental problems. And most of them are on psychiatric drugs. But we wouldn't want to point the finger at the criminal drug industry over the counter type, would we? And doctors who make a fortune giving these nutcases drugs? Now, businesses that bring large groups of people together are pouring ever-increasing amounts of money into quixotic tasks of keeping them safe. Well, it's not possible. It is not possible to make anybody safe in this country or any other country. If someone wants to do something naughty, they can do it. American companies were already spending about $341 billion on security in 2014, which you pay higher prices for tickets to get in these damn places. You want security? Don't go to these kiddie things. Don't go to Disneyland. Don't go to these things. Stay home or do something else. Teach your kids a different way to have leisure time fun. More than three times as much as they did in 1990 after adjusting for inflation, according to the ASIS International, a professional group of security personnel. Of course, their CEOs are paid fabulous amounts of money. The group said that since 2013, companies have been spending about 10% more on security each year. And, of course, you're spending a hell of a lot more on taxes, too. Closed-circuit cameras alone have become an $8 billion industry, about 17 times larger than it was two decades ago. Well, what good is thousands of cameras? Except after the fact, getting a picture of the guy after it's done, after he's killed everybody in the whole damn place. Oh, we got his picture. The trick for many companies is to ramp up security without terrifying their customers. Well, the only way to do that, and the only way I can see, is have plainclothes security people, not wearing uniforms, armed, walking in the crowd. Say one security man for every 100 visitors to the park. Have them sprinkled all over the park. 9mm, things like that. Shoot to kill. Absolutely. That way the creep that, or whoever that wants to shoot up the place, he doesn't know who's next to him. Like, it's like these guards on the aeroplane. They're sitting there in the seat. You don't know who is the federal guard on the airplane. Or if there is one. Probably in most cases, it's bullshit, there aren't any. Shoppers strolling through the Grove complex at the Fairfax District. Oh, that's Jewville in L.A. Every year may not know that they're being watched by more than 300 cameras. And two sets of security teams, one in uniform, one unarmed. Unarmed security man? What the hell good is he? The other incognito and armed. Well, the incognito and armed, that's what I'm saying. That's the way to do it. Get rid of the unarmed security man. Get rid of the uniform guy. That doesn't include several on-duty LAPD officers. Well, that's a waste of time. Most of them are coked up on drugs. In January, Caruso Affiliated, which owns the Grove and several other major malls in Southern California, hired Brenda Heck to head up security. Well, what experience does she have? She said she's spent two decades at the FBI. So what? So did the guys that were supposedly protecting us in 9/11. Most recently, running the counterterrorism division of the Bureau's Washington field office, where they know that anybody that wants to be a terrorist, kill a bunch of people, can do it, unless he's a total moron. Throughout the year, Heck trains the entire mall staff guards, but also the gardeners, the housekeepers, every single person working at a store and every retail executive, how to identify suspicious behavior, how to use mass communication systems if there's dangerous activity on the property, whether to shelter in place. Well, the guarders, the housekeepers, and every single person, that's where the lone wolf terrorist is at. That's where they hide, like at the airport. They're in baggage and all that kind of stuff. Oh, you didn't think so? Okay, quote, it's the Western way of life, the open public spaces that we have, says Heck. But the government don't want you, the government wants you afraid all the time. The government wants you appealing to them to protect you. Come on, protect me, they're going to get me. Quote, you can't have an army out front of everybody's properties, it isn't feasible. Well, maybe one day they will. You don't need all that. Like I said, on the Mexican border, you just hire Mexican nationals to guard that border. Give them AR-15s. Give them assault rifles that say stop them. And it would stop immediately. The mall's billionaire owner, Rick Caruso, spends more than $10 million a year on security. Oh, the poor, poor billionaire. Oh, that's terrible that he's got to spend that. It is now the cost of doing business in the United States, and eventually it's going to get paid for by the consumer, Caruso said. Well, of course he is. The billionaire is not going to pay for it. Prices go up. Same old shit, new day. Is there anything about what I'm saying you don't understand out there? In 2013, Westfield Corporation, which owns 32 malls across the country, hired John Yates, who was previously the top counterterrorism officer in a Scotland Yard in the United Kingdom. Yeah. In 2008, Disney hired Linda Reed as director of global intelligence after she had spent 18 years as an intelligence officer with the CIA, probably at a desk someplace. She now also is vice president of security. All this shit means nothing. This is all I was to put you to sleep.
It's going to be okay out there, Mr. and Mrs. North America. It's going to be okay, Mr. White Man. We're going to protect you. It's going to cost a little money, but we're going to do it.
Nearly half of the active shooter incidents since 2000, where someone sought to kill people in a confined, populated area, happened in places of business, the FBI reported. You know, they're good at telling you after the fact everything that went on, showing you pictures, how it happened, all that kind of stuff. But they don't seem to be able to stop it. Well, that's because they can't stop it. Quote, if you have lone wolf attacks like this, hatched in the minds of disturbed persons who should be in a mental hospital, but they're not, shouldn't be taking mind-altering drugs, but they are, drinking too much booze, and they are, then we're going to have to take different kinds of steps in order to prevent something like this from happening, President Obomsky said in wake of the Orlando attack. I don't hear him talking about mental health. I don't hear him talking about all those people Ronald Reagan dumped on the street that needed to be in institutions. Don't ever talk about that because you know why? They're bought off by the drug companies. Absolutely, totally bought off by the drug companies. In addition to metal detectors, Disneyland put bomb-sniffing dogs outside its properties. Company officials would not say at the time whether the move had anything to do with terrorist threats, but it comes weeks after the San Bernardino shooting and a month after the November 2015 attacks in Paris, when gunmen and suicide bombers killed 130 people at restaurants, a stadium, and a concert hall. And they could have killed a lot, hell of a lot more if they had a little more firepower. The safety and security of our guests and employees is our first priority, Universal Studios. No, our first priority is making lots of money and saving our personal corporate asses. Spokeswoman Audrey Eague said in an email, adding that she could not discuss the company's security process, probably because they don't have one. Disney declined to comment. SeaWorld did not respond to requests for comment. They don't want to spend any money. Piss on it. We can afford to lose a few customers. After the Orlando shooting, the Abbey Food and Bar, a crown jewel of West Hollywood's homosexualized nightlife, began stationing an armed guard outside the premise and became more diligent about searching bags and using a wand to scan clubgoers. I'm telling you, armed guard doesn't mean shit if somebody wants to shoot up the place. You need people in plain clothes looking like a customer sitting around at the table. That's the only way you could head off anything like this. Somebody who's observing everybody that comes in and gets a profile. Profile, profile. Oh, God, did I say that word? Profile. David Cooley, the club's owner, said that those measures amounted to nominal cost. that he considers unavoidable for a homosexual bar that draws a crowd. Well, you know, that armed guard standing at the door may scare away a few guys, amateurs. But to a professor, a professional, it doesn't scare anybody. They can roll an IAD past him, no problem, you know. Hey, what's that? The bowling ball with a fuse on the top. Oh, shit, I'm getting out of here. I'm only being paid $10 an hour to be a security guard. I ain't going to get my ass blown off. The unseen cost could actually have a greater impact, Cooley wrote in an email. Lines got longer after the club started rigorously inspecting each person who walks in. No one has complained so far, said Cooley. That could change. Well, it will change. People will get sick and tired of that shit, just like all the crap at the airports. You know, this is the quickest way to kill your business is have them standing in line for an hour. You think I'd stand in line at a homo bar? Wait a minute. Well, if they had good food, maybe I would. I don't feel challenged by homosexuals. The challenge will be in a few weeks and months when security is not the top of the mind for people and they are less inclined to be inconvenienced. Yeah, after a while it wears off. You know, you get excited. Oh, my God, they shot up the place. But in a few weeks, a few months, everything goes back to regular business. Dennis Spiegel, the president of the International Theme Park Services Incorporated, a consulting firm based in Ohio, estimated that Disney spends upwards of $75 million on security per year at all its properties, he said. Costs have skyrocketed for all major amusement parks in the last several months. Well, let me tell you, Mr. Spiegel, if you want to give me half of that money per year, I'll take care of your problem. I'll get the right kind of people in there. And believe me, there won't be a swinging dick terrorist get by. Yeah, but you wouldn't do that. You're not going to do that because, oh, I don't want to have somebody like Tom Metzger, somebody he's recommending involved. I mean, he's such a far right guy as opposed to the far left guys. Paris was a catalyst for everybody because with that carnage, the way it was spread around the city at the same time, it indicated to us that in the leisure industry, that this can happen anywhere, anytime. No shit, Mr. Spiegel. That's what I'm telling you. You have no good defense against this kind of stuff. Part of the reason companies are spending more, one plaintiff's attorney condensed, is that every time another attack occurs, the chance that they will be held liable may go up. Yeah, they get their ass sued off, so if they don't get shot up and killed, the owners of the business get sued out of business. So for the so-called terrorist, it works both ways. In fact, it probably works better to get them sued out of the business. In May, a jury rejected a lawsuit brought against Cinemark for survivors of the 2012 shooting at one of the chain's movie theaters in Aurora, Colorado. Well, you know, that guy just got carried away. I don't know whether it was a cowboy movie or what, but he just stood up and started shooting, man. Pissed him off. Crummy movie. You could look at the guy's picture on the internet and know that he was seriously mentally disturbed. Now, why in the fuck is he walking around on the street? Why? A couple of people asked that question after these things happened, but then in a week or so, forget about it. No, he belonged to some blah, 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 or he believed in blah, blah, blah. That's what did it. No, the guy's nuts. That's what did it. The company won because it convinced the jury that the assault was unforeseeable. Well, that's for sure. But the lawyer who represented the survivors, Mark Burns, said that the argument is already losing credibility. Well, put these people in an institution. One flew over the cuckoo's nest. You know? Come on. I hate to see anybody pinned up and like that. I sure would hate to see anybody that's not nuts being said they're nuts and be put into one of those places for life, but there's a lot of people out there that are obviously nuts. How can you say this might not happen in a theater? It happens everywhere. It happens in a school, said Byrne, partner of a New York City firm, Byrne Riepke, LLP. Security lapses in some cases may have made it easier for assailants to cause harm. Well, there's no security lapses because there is no security. You don't have armed guys incognito setting in a theater. You'd only have to pay him $15 an hour. A lot of guys would do anything to get $15 an hour. And they can watch people all around them. They can watch who gets up and who sits down. And anybody stands up and says, I'm going to kill people, you just blow their head off. After casing the Aurora Theater, James Holmes knew there were no cameras outside and there weren't any guards on duty on Thursday when he chose to attack. They didn't have any plainclothes guards in the theater. A security guard in a uniform is bullshit. It's a waste of time. Farouk and Malik entered the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino through an unlocked entry point. There were no armed officers outside Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newton, Connecticut, when Adam Lanza shot his way through a locked door and killed 26 children. Well, that could have been avoided. That could have been avoided. In fact, regularly dressed security people packing would not cause the eruption that armed guards do around a school. Armed guards around a grade school, to me, would scare the shit out of the kids. You don't need that. You need armed guys, but just regular suits and regular clothes, just sort of walking around, you know. Or arm the shit out of the teachers, you know. The rub experts say is that no amount of investment comes with a guarantee of stopping mass carnage. Well, you're speaking the truth there. No way you can stop it, and especially you can't stop it the way you operate. At Pulse in Orlando, a uniformed police officer exchanged fire with Mateen, but the 29-year-old armed with a semi-automatic rifle burrowed into the club and kept shooting. He was ultimately shot dead by a SWAT team. Now, if the uniformed cop had been in plain clothes, fairly close to the guy, he probably could have run up and got closer to the guy and shot him right in the head. But uniformed cops stand out like a sore thumb, so he couldn't get close enough. I know these things, man. Don't give me shit. I know these things because it's logical. You use logic, you can figure things out. If the only reason for security is to try to prevent a mass shooter from killing people, there might be better ways to spend your money, said Henry Willis. Well, that's for damn sure, the director of Homeland Security and Defense Center at RAND Corporation. The types of things we have been seeing are almost impossible to prevent. They are impossible to prevent. Numbnuts. The element of surprise can easily overwhelm a trained guard. And the best case scenario is often that law enforcement officers arrive quickly and kill the shooter before they kill too many people. Well, that's rolling the dice. That's a gamble. That's nice if it can work, but usually it doesn't. That's only with the guy that wants to talk about his problems before he kills people. More fundamentally, it isn't clear that the safest version in the United States is a place that Americans would actually want to live. An example of what we would look like is Israel. Well, like I said, I was taken on a trip to Israel, which I don't think most people still figured out. How in the hell that guy get into Israel? Especially with that SS uniform on. Anyhow, Israel is pretty damn secure, I'll tell you, boy. I'll tell you, every half block you'll see somebody walking with an AR-15. And all the personnel outside the hotels that greet you going into the hotel have got 9mm and usually to an AR-15. It's so common over there you don't even think about it. They're everywhere. Security is something that is a budget into regular business practices in Israel. Security is something that is budgeted into regular business practices in Israel. Well, of course, the owner of TM Protection Sources, a New York-based consulting firm that employs 8,000 security officers in Israel. I didn't feel threatened in Israel, even by the Mossad. Nobody asked me nothing, except, can I open the door for you? What would you like to eat? What would you like to drink? In Israel, there are security guards outside every single restaurant. That's right, and I saw them. People get their bags checked before walking into a supermarket, and metal detectors are stationed at the gates of shopping centers. They sure are. But there's more that separates the two countries. The entire Israeli population itself is essentially a trained security force themselves. That's the secret. Just about every man and woman in Israel has served in the military, and they maintain on high alert long after their stint as soldiers. A package is not left unattended for more than a few minutes before a civilian notifies the law enforcement. Let me tell you a story. My tour guide told me that one time he was coming out of a hotel, and he was going to get on a bus to go someplace, and he had his accordion. He's a musician. He had an accordion in a package, and he set it down and asked this guy he knew, "Will you keep an eye on it? I've got to go to the bathroom." And so he took off. Well, the other guy didn't stay there, and he moved away from it. And when this guy, tour guy, got back in the hotel, he's sitting having a drink, and he said, "What's that commotion outside?" He said, "Well, they thought they found a bomb out there." And he went out there, and there was his accordion smashed to pieces. They don't take a chance. Israelis never wake up in the morning and say, "Today the threat level is lower," Tucker said. 2 weeks after Orlando, 2 weeks after San Bernardino, 2 weeks after Columbine, people forget here in America. That's for sure. They're not security conscious. Even when they're walking down the street, they're oblivious. They're oblivious to anything, you know. When in reality, anything could happen. Well, that article was in the LA Times. That was a damn good article. If you're not a moron and can understand logic and what's good and what's bad and what works. I'd like for you to, if you can find it, cut it out, or I can send it to you, or give it to your friends. Give your friends an MP3 file of this show, of what I said about all of this. My comments might save their life, but probably not. Sometimes I'll sit around at a park a little bit or someplace in a town, and I'll just watch people. Well, one thing, my mother was a people watcher, and I'm a people watcher. Just watch the way they act, and watch how security conscious they are. And they're not security conscious at all. In their churches, in their businesses, or any place else. If someone wants to do them bad, it is a simple thing to do. Unbelievably simple. That's it for today. 14:05. I'll be back tomorrow on Tears Day. In the meantime, watch beside you, watch in front of you, watch behind you, and watch everybody around you for telltale clues.